Turn with me to this passage that we read in the Gospel according to Mark. At verse 20 it says, "For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly." Let us look at some of the course and pathway of the life of this man, Herod Antipas. I think his life could be described as the road to damnation. The road to damnation. When you look at some of his life, that might surprise you. But I think as we follow the path, we will certainly come to that conclusion. And it's a road that many people are following today, even in our own town. And they can even be in the church this morning. But friend, unless you have found the pathway, the way, the truth, and the life, this is the road. This is the road that you are on. The road to damnation. It's the road that we're all on from our birth and origin. People have great privileges. We read the story of John Welsh, who was a great man of God, that when he was a youth, when he was a teenager, he decided no. Despite my family's piety and godliness, I want my own way, I want to have some adventure. And he set off and he joined what are known as the Border Reavers. There was a family of Armstrongs brought up near Langham, where we now have a witness in the south. And one generation after another were devoted to crime and theft and pillage. This is where John Welsh cast his lot and joined in their nefarious deeds. But after some time, things did not go well or prosper. He found that he was ending up famished and in rags. And it's in that state that he decided to go back to Dumfries, where he had an aunt staying whom he thought would be sympathetic. And he arrived at her door, and when she opened the door, she said, "Come in, John, come in." And he sat there and confessed that he'd made a miserable error. He'd chosen his own way in life, he'd made his own choices, and he'd ended up broken and penniless and in rags. And he said to her, "What do you think of my father? Will he have me back?" And she was very doubtful. She said, "I don't know, but maybe we can try something." And as they were talking, a knock came at the door, and the boy ran and hid in a cupboard. And it's his father that came in. And his sister said to him, "What do you think of John?" And immediately the father started raging about his son, the worthless boy. "Look what I did for him. And now where is he? Oh, said the aunt, surely he's your son, surely. Surely if he came back, you would think of, if he really was sorry, would you not think of helping him out somewhere or other? And the father's heart was touched. And he said, well, maybe I would. And the sister opened the door of the cupboard, and out came the boy. And the father and the boy fell into each other's arms in tears. And that was the beginning of a great man of God who did mighty works in Ayr and other places. You can read his story. Friends, you may be on the road to damnation, but there may be a hope for you or for your son or for your daughter, wherever she is, who have made the wrong choices. Don't give up in your prayers for those who seem on the wrong road. But we must trace this path. Friends, lest we are deceiving ourselves, because this man showed many signs of good things. So we look first of all at a hell-bent life, a hopeful hearer, and then a hypocritical reprobate. Hell-bent, how did this man, Herod Antipas, end up being the murderer of the mighty John the Baptist? There is none arisen greater than John the Baptist. But he fell under the sword of this loathsome man. Well, if you look at his history, you may see some accounting of it. His father was called Herod the Great. And you've all heard from Matthew chapter 1 of how Herod received the wise men. These eminent seekers for the child born to be the Savior. And when they shared their vision with Herod, he proved devious. He was the tricky tyrant. He tried to trick them and said, go and find him and tell me, and I will come and worship him. Yes, here is a man putting on the pose of piety, but he has a heart that hates that anyone should replace him. He professed a desire for Christ. And sometimes in our hearts, on the roadway of life, we may profess a desire. We may say something, well, that's something I would like. All the time, your heart of hearts is against the Savior and yielding your heart to him. This tricky tyrant became a furious fiend. He was the one that slew every child in Bethlehem under 2 years old. What was his motive? It was a furious rejection of the Messiah, a furious refusal of Christ, and shed blood to try and rid himself of Christ. Why, if you say nobody would do that today. Friends, if we do not receive Christ, we are guilty of his blood. There is blood on our hands until we adore him as Lord and bow the knee before him. We also to remember that these Herods, friends, this family of Herods, these notorious kings were of the family of Edom. Remember the psalm that we sang about Edom and how they were determined to destroy the people of God. Ever since Esau, the profane Esau, they were enemies of the cause. When the Israelites, having 40 years travel in the desert, arrived seeking the entry to the promised land, the Edomites said no. Their own brothers, sons of Abraham, and yet they refused them passage through their land. There was no charity, there was no heart of brotherhood. And that's what comes out here. You see, we are all friends of the children of Adam. Who knows what we have in our past history of feuding clans in Scotland and of murderers and thieves and everything else. And it's there in our blood. That's our nature, friends. If we don't recognize it, then we fail to realize what is there in the deceitful heart. It is desperately wicked. Have you seen your heart today? Are you seeing its awful condition? That nature from birth, received from our ancestry, it's there. That's what we've to contend with. That's what Herod had to contend with. What hope is there for this man? My friends, there's no more hope for you unless the grace of God reaches you. Hellbent, we're on the road to damnation by nature, by birth. But he was a hopeful hearer. Despite all of that, friends, this man enjoyed hearing the gospel. There are people that sit in church all their lives and they say, that's a good sermon. And they go home saying, well, that was good preaching. Hopeful hearers. But that's as far as it goes, friends. Isn't this the tragedy? This Herod was a hopeful hearer, not once, but many times. He listened to the great preacher announcing the coming of the Savior, and he enjoyed it. He enjoyed the appeal of holiness. He heard him knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him, respected him, watched him, admired him. Friends, we can do all these things. We can say, oh, my mother was a good woman. Wasn't it wonderful how she read her Bible morning and night? How she loved the times of prayer. But what about your prayer life? What does it amount to? The appeal of holiness. Why did he listen? Friends, there is an attraction there. There's a beauty in Jesus that can attract even our worldly hearts. But it's not enough. Would you like to hear more of Jesus this morning? Yes, but will it be enough to wean you from the world to the heavenly road? The appeal of holiness, the attempt at godliness. He didn't just listen. Many of us just listen and go home and that's the end of the story. This man was much better than us. He actually did things. He changed. He did many things. How many things have you done after hearing a sermon? How many changes has it made in your life since you heard that sermon last Sabbath or that prayer meeting? Have you changed? He did many things. What a promising hearer. He's better than us in many ways, friends. Not enough to hear, friends. We have to be better than Herodias. We have to do many things and not give up. Has he done the one thing that's needful? Yes, friends, do all you can. Strive to enter the straight gate. Do many things. As far as that's concerned, Herod is right on the right road, but no, it was done. The problem, friends, what's the problem? The problem is that it was done to try and justify himself, to try and put on an appearance. He thought he could convince John and convince his God that he wasn't as bad as he looked. He could make up for the past. But this hopeful hearer, friends, always had the allure of worldliness. Isn't it terrible how we can slump back into the old way and go through another day without much concern, wrapped up with our concerns, all our comforts and privileges that we have, our riches and wealth that we have? Which of these would we give up? What would you rather give up today, your Sunday dinner or your evening service? What would make the greater difference to you? Or is the world and the flesh still got its grip? Where are our priorities? Where are our choices? What is it costing us? What is it costing us to be faithful to Jesus? If we heard that word, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. That's the walk. Are we there? Are we on that road? And then there's the hypocritical reprobate. There was a hellward bent life. There was a hopeful hearer. Oh, what hopes. Perhaps John himself felt there was hope for him. But no, friends, it was all false. It was artificial. It was all in the appearance. It was hypocritical. In what sense, friends? Well, he was still clinging to the conscience. He had a conscience. Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy. We fear, don't we? We fear to hear at the thought of hell, the thought of being rejected on that final day when we face the Lord Jesus and he says no. He says no to you. You see others passing by, but the hand is held up. It's not you. I remember doing something wrong in school. It wasn't really intentional. I was trying to get out of making a mistake. And I tried to avoid it. I dodged my way through in the door of the school, into the cloakroom. I was on my way to the class, and a hand came down on my shoulder. You're the one. And I was led away for my punishment. Will it be like that for us at the end, friends? No, not you. And you'll have no protest, no offering, no excuse to make. You see, Frey, he feared. That was the reason he was driven by fear. Fear is not enough. Fear can be good. Fear is necessary. It's not enough. His conscience was awake. He feared. He still clung to conscience. You know, after he'd murdered John, he was glad to see Jesus. When Pilate sent Jesus along to Herod before his death as a prisoner, we read in Luke 13 that he was exceeding glad. Isn't this amazing? A man who's the cause, the perpetrator of this murderer, of this great prophet, is happy to see Jesus. Oh, the hypocrisy of the human heart, isn't it? Astonishing. But this is the way, this is the pathway of the damned. Friends, it says here in John chapter 13, and he answered and said to him, Lord, no, it's not 13, but it's my eyesight letting me down again. But when when Herod came face to face with Jesus, we're told that he was exceeding glad and wanted to see a miracle, and was fascinated by this person. Here is Jesus, so to speak, defeated and powerless, and still Herod has the awareness. This one is someone special. In fact, he said, this is John raised to the dead, from the dead. And how can he face this person that he's murdered? It's astonishing, isn't it? The state of this man's soul. But you see, this is what the natural man is like. He is religious. He wants religion. He wants God. But he will not only look for him in his own terms. And he ended up allowing his soldiers to mock and abuse Christ. A critical reprobate. All the time he was indulging his lusts. He'd begun by stealing another man's wife, his own brother's wife. And he had clung to this path of sinful self-indulgence and lust. And it mastered him and ruled him. Friends, there's something rules us. If Christ does not reign, there's something else has mastered us. It might not be so lurid as with Herod, but there is something that is holding us back, and we are clinging to it. And until we surrender that, we're on the pathway of the damned. It will break us and destroy us, just like Herodias destroyed Herod. Friends, this awful pathway is the pathway of the natural man. It's the natural way for all of us to go. So what have I to offer you today? Is there anything better? Well, we're going to conclude with a psalm. Psalm 118, because I think that there you meet another king, a different king. There you meet the one that Herod hated, that Herod, the father of Herod Antipas, wanted eliminated. Ah, yes, he's the one who stood before Antipas and at length dismissed by him. Our nature will dismiss Jesus again today, but grace, friends, has a different path. And so instead of the road to damnation, we can take and we can offer today a high road, a highway to heaven. What is that alternative way? When we're at the crossroads, how can we be sure of making our choice of the heavenward path? Well, first of all, friends, here is what must happen. There must be a prayerful entry into this way. The way is facing you, and you can take a step on that pathway under the blessed offers and persuasion of the gospel. Jesus is standing there. And this is our prayer: open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what you want? Take what a step, friends, and the gate will open it to you. You know, these gates that you come to sometimes in shops these days, and you walk up to this closed door, and before you reach it, the door opens. Friends, take your pathway to this gateway of righteousness, which Christ is offering, and you'll find it opens. Open to me the gates of righteousness, I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. Oh, how many have chosen that path, friend, and you also can take it today. For now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Isn't there that cry rising up in your heart? You may even just be a child today, but God is opening, showing you that way, is opening that invitation. And you gladly respond, open to me the gates of righteousness, a prayerful entry. And then there's a joyful exultation in this psalm. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This Jesus that Herod rejected, this truth that he struggled with and was tempted, but in the end, passed by and rejected. That rejected stone is your stone, is your head corner. You can make him the head today. You can say as you enter that gate, the stone which Herod rejected has become the head corner stone of my life. Jesus, make him head. Make him the archway through which you pass. Make him the one to inspire and save and change and cleanse you. That's the offer that we make from this pulpit, Sabbath by Sabbath. Take Christ, friends. Oh, Herodias, oh, Herod, if only you had come, if only you'd prayed this prayer, you'll be there in heaven today, but now you're down there in the pit of hell. Don't be a Herod, friends. There's a Herod in all of us. Don't be a Herod today. Turn your back on sin and self and join the joyful throng of those who say, we will rejoice and be glad in it. There's a grateful surrender, friends. That's the third step you take. It's a grateful surrender. The God is the Lord who has shown us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords unto the horns of the altar. What you're saying is, I'll take my place with Christ. Because he was bound and nailed and bled for me, I will bind myself to him. I'll offer my body as a living sacrifice. Take me, Lord. Take all that I am. Take all my days, all my future, all that I call mine. Take it, Lord Jesus. I bind myself in surrender to the Messiah and the King. Let us pray. O gracious Lord, as we're reminded of this fearful picture of the road to damnation and of Herod and Herodias and others, they've taken these fatal steps. Rescue us, each one. Rescue us from any false notion or delusion concerning ourselves, and grant us the grace to pray as we close this service, Open to me the gate of righteousness. I will go in. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.